looking at the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. As we've stated each week, the miracle itself is recorded there in verse 43 and 44, which we'll get to next week, and certainly is a type of salvation. But the 11th chapter, we have all the events leading up to this miracle, and all of these events are very instructive for you and I. It all centers around the fact that Christ loved Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Everything here centers around Christ's love for his people. Now, Martha and Mary, of course, were going through a very difficult time. Their brother had become sick, deathly sick, and in a few days would die. They, of course, witnessed his sickness. They ministered to him in his sickness, and no doubt they witnessed his death as well. So this was all a very difficult time for Martha and Mary. What we have here in John chapter 11 is some lessons about what to do in times of hardship. Because if you do not do what you ought to do in times of hardship, you make your hardship far more difficult. There are things that we are to do. There is a frame of mind and a frame and a condition of heart that we must keep ourselves in times of hardships. It's almost like some people in times of hardship, they give themselves license to use that time to not be right with God. That's the worst thing you can do. The absolute worst thing you can do. Again, everything centers around Christ's love. Martha and Mary knew that Christ loved them. Martha and Mary knew that Christ loved Lazarus. I don't believe they ever questioned the love. They did question, in a sense, they did question the actions of Jesus Christ. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. So to a degree, that's questioning the actions. But I don't believe they ever questioned the love of Jesus Christ. The first thing they did was when Lazarus became sick, in verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest, again, they're very much aware of his love, is sick. When Lazarus became sick, they immediately sought Jesus Christ. They told Jesus. Now, if you are in the habit of talking to the Lord every single day, if you are in the habit of taking things to Christ, when hardship comes, that is exactly what you will do. If that is not your habit, it may take you a while to get there. And in the meantime, you have added to your hardship. Again, the life that we live before our hardship really determines much about how we will deal with the hardship. But they immediately sought Christ. Secondly, never lose sight of the love of Christ. They never did. We see this when they went to Jesus in verse 3, "He whom thou lovest is sick." They were very, very much aware of Christ's love. And we must live in the awareness of Christ's love. And when we live every day in the awareness of Christ's love, when hardship comes, we're still living in the awareness of His love. Thirdly, never forget that the Lord in His love does all for our spiritual well-being. Every circumstance that comes our way is an opportunity to know Jesus better, is an opportunity to experience Christ in that circumstance. And though Martha and Mary did not know what the outcome of the sickness would be, the Lord did. And He always does. Verse 4. "Now when Jesus heard that, He said, 'The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God.'" That is, He knew that Lazarus would die, but He also knew that He would raise him up for the glory of God. "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." In verse 14 and 15, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes.'" Now it seems cruel. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes, the apostles. "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent." The Lord always has an intent, and it's always centered around His love for us. "To the intent that you may believe," that is, believe more. "Nevertheless, let us go unto Him." So, the Lord does all for our spiritual well-being. We need to always remember that. Not only must we remember that, we must look to have our spirits bettered in the hardship. Also, never forget that the Lord knows, and He knows what He will do. The Lord knows what's going to happen. The Lord knows exactly what He's going to do. He knew that He would go and He would raise Lazarus from the grave. He knew that Lazarus would die. He knew that Martha and Mary would even bury Lazarus, and that Jesus would come to that cemetery and He would raise Lazarus from the dead. The Lord always knows, and the Lord always knows what He will do. The Lord is not in a quandary. And none of us would come right out and say that the Lord is confused, that the Lord, it doesn't appear that the Lord knows what He's going to do, but many act that way, as if the Lord doesn't know, and therefore I have to give Him instruction. The Lord knows. He knows. And that ought to comfort us. Also, never give up hope in the Lord. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And yet, Martha maintained hope and confidence in Christ. Notice verse 21 and 22. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now," very important phrase, "that even now." I mean, he's buried. He's dead and buried. He's been buried for 4 days, or dead for 4 days. "But I know that even now, in this impossible situation, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Now, there are two things here. First of all, Martha did not understand why Jesus did not come. That's brought out in verse 21. She did not understand all the workings, all the happenings that were going on. Nor do we. Nor do we need to understand all of it. Nor are we able to understand everything that has happened. But even though she didn't understand, because a lot of people get stuck there. Why did this happen? And that's where they're stuck for the rest of their life. That's not a good place to be. But she never gave up hope in the Lord. I know, she says, I am sure, I am convinced, I am persuaded that even now, though my brother is in the ground, I know that whatever you ask of God will happen. So, during those 4 days, though Martha did not understand, she maintained hope. She maintained confidence in Christ. And no matter what happens, we must maintain hope and confidence in Christ. And how do we know when we are maintaining hope and confidence in Christ? Well, if that's where your hope is, if that's where your confidence is, that's where you're going to flee. If your hope and confidence is in man and in the help of man, that's where you're going. But if your hope and confidence is in God, that's where you'll flee. And you'll know. I have hope. What she's, even now. Lord, I know you can fix this even now. No one else can. Oh, the sooner God's people would come to that truth. You can't fix it. God can. He's our hope. He's our confidence. Man is not. And that's where we'll flee. So never give up hope. Also, never stop believing. And this is definitely connected with never giving up hope. Never stop believing who Christ is. He asked, and notice as they conversed, Jesus in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, he's presenting himself to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, as is her brother, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then notice what he said. Speaking directly to her, believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? Hardships manifest what we believe, what we already believe, or don't believe. Verse 27, I believe without any hesitancy. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. What did she believe? I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You see, you don't even have to believe that the Lord's going to fix it. The important thing to believe is who he is. I believe that thou art the Christ. Never stop believing who Christ is. Also, never stop recognizing Christ as Master. Martha not only believed, she recognize Christ as the Lord, the one who is in control. After her conversation with Christ, she then returned to the place where Mary was grieving. And she took Mary to the side and whispered in her ear in verse 28, "The Master is come." She recognized Christ as the Master. Not only did she recognize Christ as Master, but when she spoke those words in the ears of Mary, "The Master is come," Mary knew exactly who she was talking about. A lot of people today, if you told them the Master is come, a lot of different thoughts might run through their mind. But Mary knew. Mary knew. Never stop recognizing Christ as Lord. What that means is you submit to Him. You do not submit, you do not recognize Christ as Lord. Submission is the manifestation that we recognize Him as Lord. Never stop hearing His loving invitation. Verse 29, "The Master is come." I mean, that's good news in itself, but it gets better. "And calleth for thee." He's inviting you to come to Him. I believe that's always true. In every circumstance in life, I believe if you listen, you will hear Christ saying, "Come to me. Come to me." And if we would do that as soon as He calls. Most of God's people eventually get around to it. But in the meantime, you've made your situation worse. All that we would come as soon as He called. "The Master is come and calleth for thee." So Mary, still grieving, still with an aching heart, and no doubt still filled with questions, she responded to the call without hesitation. We see that when she came, she fell down at His feet. She took her proper place before Christ. Best thing you can do in a time of hardship is to listen for the voice of Christ. Listen for His call. Flee to Him and fall down at His feet. Not giving Him instruction, just falling down at His feet as the subject. When we do that, we are benefited. Lastly, we need to keep our heart in a condition of being drawn to the Lord. Martha and Mary both were grieving the death of their brother. Martha heard that Christ was on His way, and immediately her heart was drawn to Him, and she fled to Him. We see that in verse 20. When Martha whispered in Mary's ear, "The Master is come and calleth for thee," the heart of Mary was immediately drawn to Christ. It is so important that we always keep our heart in a sensitive condition, that our heart is always drawn to Christ, that there is a pull toward Christ. And then in time of hardship, time of difficulty and trial, that will still be the case. Your heart will be drawn to Christ. Because the devil and many people seek to draw our hearts in many different directions. We will do that to ourselves. It is important that we keep ourselves in a condition where our heart is always being drawn to Christ. So there's much to learn here. There's much more than what we've brought out, of course. But there's much to learn here about dealing with difficulties, dealing with hardships. And again, really, in order to properly deal with hardships, you have to live properly before the hardship comes. It sure is good when hardship comes, you don't have to spend 3 days getting right with God before you can really feel His comfort. It's good to just stay right with God, and then when hardship comes, you can just go to Him, fall at His feet. It's much easier. It's much easier that way. So our lives, the way we live our lives, determines much about how we will deal with things in the future. And the way people deal with trials and difficulties, really all it does is manifest the life that they've lived prior to. God help us to keep our hearts right with God. Again, let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father,